Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Delilah deceived by seduction. Delilah seduced Samson to give her information that she later used against him and against the people of God and against the Lord himself. She weighed on him. She continued to woo him and intimately speak to him in his ears, trying to seduce him to divulge the information that she would later use against him. And this is exactly what secret enemies do in our midst, beloved. This is a real live biblical topic and truth that's found throughout Scripture, and we should be warned and save ourselves much pain and much reproach against the Lord and His body by being able to discern only by the Spirit and the Word, that is, who is true in our midst and who is not. And you also have the element of someone who once was sincerely serving Christ and later on falls away. Jesus said that was possible. We see that throughout Scripture. We see it beginning even before mankind with Lucifer, who became Satan. He fell away. He's now under eternal condemnation. We see it throughout Scripture. Men falling away, including Judas. Esau, you know, you got your contrast all the way through the Bible. Esau and Jacob. One chose to serve God, one didn't. God didn't ordain either of them to go to hell, but which was created for the devil and his angels, Jesus said in Matthew 25. But he allowed them. You see, the Bible says God creates evil, Isaiah 45:7. Well, what does that mean? It simply means in the fullness of the counsel of God that he allows men the option of doing good and evil. Behold, I set before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Life and death. Therefore, choose life, that you may live. He even tells us what he wants us to choose. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. We could go on and that topic. But man does have free will. And that means you and I, along with those that we're in communion with, have the free will not to continue to seek God and thereby fall away. Because if you don't walk in the light, darkness will overcome and overtake you, Jesus said in John 12, 35. So if somebody does not continue to endure in intimate communion, abiding with Christ. We've all been there where we were not as on fire, or we were not as fervent in intimacy, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, setting our affection on things above. So we understand that this can happen in us, which is our first responsibility, and then also in those around us. And if it happens in those that are around us, it's going to cause problems. They are going to become your secret enemy. Enemy that is within the gates. They're within the realm of your existence. They're in close quarters with you. And in many cases, as we see throughout history, they, and we see all around us individually, I'm sure most of us have experienced this, they will try to use something that they discovered while they were in communion with you to turn and rend you. They become your secret enemies. Some people we've allowed, all of us have allowed into our life, that were enemies from the beginning. They hid behind a thin veneer of a niceness, an outward kindness, or a feigned friendliness. But war was in their heart. In fact, David said of his enemy in Psalm 55:21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. You see, there are those around us, just as David endured, that feign, even at this time, there could be somebody in your life, in my life, who feigns to be our friend, who feigns to be of Christ, but yet they're really on assignment from Satan himself, whose name, devil, means accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren, as Revelation 12:10 says, and he's the most subtle of all beasts, and he creeps into the garden of our lives to try to seduce us into sin or into divulging information like Delilah did, in order to take that and that pearl of information and rend you with it. Jesus warned us to give not our pearls to swine, lest they turn again and rend you That is Matthew 7:6. And in that passage, he's talking about those who are very judgmental and they are hypocrites, he says, and they need to get the log out of their own eye before they try to get a splinter out of somebody else's. And that's one telltale sign, friend. That's all wrapped up in the same text there in Matthew 7:1-6. That's a telltale sign when somebody is without mercy. They're merciless, which is a characteristic of the apostate last day generation. Romans 1 says they're without mercy. They're merciless, and they're constantly judging other people in their attitudes and in their words. That is a telltale sign. Now, if they're talking about other people that way to you and around you and others, who do you think they're talking about like that when you're not around? I'll give you one guess. How about yours truly, you? So be careful and present yourself as a God-fearing friend, beloved. I'm talking to the remnant of Christ elect. We're not covering every doctrine in this short message, but these are some nuggets of truth to consider whether or not they're biblically sound, and to assimilate them into your life so that you can be protected under the refuge of the Lord's truth. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. Now, Jesus himself had a secret enemy, but I don't think Jesus was oblivious to it, especially toward the end. That could be something people could debate. I won't bother with it, but we know that he was a devil because he chose to be a devil because of his own transgressions and his own decisions not to steward his heart in the way the Lord would have had him to. Judas fell away. Judas was actually the familiar friend of Jesus, quote unquote, the own familiar friend, quote unquote, of Jesus, Psalm 41:8. And it was by transgression, Acts 1:25, that he fell. It was by his own sin, because the wages of sin is death. So Judas fell away, but Judas became the secret enemy, or the enemy within. The enemy within the ranks of the apostles of Christ. He was elected by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the highest office of the church, and also promised an eternal throne, as we read in Matthew 19:28. Judas was promised an eternal throne, but yet he kissed the gate of heaven and turned and went to hell. That no type of person, I got to tell you personally, no type of person of all the different types of people in the world actually befuddle me more than this type of person. This type of person that is in darkness, in iniquity, and can even go among the apostles and Christ himself and turn and rend Christ and sell out on Jesus
for 30 pieces of silver
or for something temporal. There are people today who sell out on the Lord's children for the acceptance and the accolade and the fellowship of other people who are also of like mind and wolves like they are. It's tragic. It's ugly. It's filthy. Beware, friend, and pray that God, we need to pray right now. Father, give us the discerning of spirits, one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit you mentioned, Lord, you gave us. We pray for the discerning of spirits and that we would test all men by their fruits, Lord, by the fruit of their lips, which is coming from their hearts, and to know them by the Spirit, O God. Even those that are called false, that are really true, let us know who they are. And those that are called true and are really false, or those who feign to be true and are really false, please unveil it to us and divert them from our way, Lord. We say with David that we have escaped the paths of the enemy by taking heed to thy word. Thank you for it. Let it be in each of our lives, Father, in the name of Jesus and in the holy fear of God. Amen. Praise God, friend. Listen, there's Delilahs lurking in our midst. They're feasting among us, beloved. And they have only evil in their hearts. They want to reward evil for your good. Our Lord Jesus can relate. The Apostle Paul can relate. All men and women who ever walk with God were betrayed. The Bible tells us that it's guaranteed that we will be betrayed and we will be hated of all men for Jesus' name's sake. And it's even those who are in our midst claiming to be saved and just would swear up and down that they're saved, but they don't have the fruit to prove it. They're full of iniquity and darkness and slander and malice and all these other evil works of the flesh which testify of an apostate heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He also says that all these evil things, including the evil eye, which is a term speaking of having a darkness in yourself to where you project evil suspicion on other people when it's undue and unwarranted. Proverbs 17:13 and other several other places in the Bible, we learn that those that reward evil for good will reap a curse on their life. And that's tragic. That's tragic. We pray these folks will open their eyes, repent before the Lord, and get it right with their brothers and sisters, going to them privately and making amends for the wrongdoing. But you know, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us that in the last days the love of many would wax cold. It would wax cold. People would hate us and despise us, even our own family members. You know, mothers, dads, sisters, brothers, children, Jesus spoke of in Matthew 10. So we should be aware of this. We should talk about what Scripture says, because then we're not in the darkness. We're able to handle it when it happens and able also to assess what's already happened according to the Word, letting the Word of God be a lamp to our feet and the light into our path, and sorting everything out according to the holy precepts of the written Word of God. Amen. Now, Nehemiah was also a man who suffered great persecution. Him and several other men who were the remnant of the Lord's elect were led by the Lord to do His will, build a wall around Jerusalem, rebuild a wall that had been broken down. That wall represented protection for God's people, even as the Word of God is the protector and the guard and the garrison of the souls and hearts of men. Praise God. And so Nehemiah and his men set off by prayer and perseverance and diligent work, and not only worshipful hearts, but also warring hearts. The Bible says that we are to fight the good fight of faith, that the weapons of our warfare, we're in a warfare, friend. There is an evil devil, and he is got a minion, a vast tribe of evil demon devils, angels that have fallen, that also do his work, and also they are able to work in the children of disobedience, according to Ephesians, like chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. They operate and work in the children of disobedience. And when somebody backslides, they're now alienated from God and from the life of God, Ephesians 4 speaks of, verse 18. And they are now in the hands of the enemy. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you are against me. And perhaps they're the worst enemy we could have, the best tool of Satan, because now perhaps sevenfold devils have come into their lives, as Jesus taught, I believe in Matthew 12, that when the house is cleaned and swept and garnished and it's not filled up, then the enemy can come back with seven devils worse than the first one and take over that house or that vessel and use it to do destruction, because Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so Nehemiah, godly man, was allowed to go back, because at this point Israel was in captivity. I want to encourage you to read Nehemiah, especially the first six chapters. Absolutely fascinating, absolutely applicable to today, totally on target for today. You see, friend, because you and I have been sent on a mission no different than Nehemiah, the cupbearer of the king. We've been sent on a mission to build his kingdom. He said, I will build my church, and he uses us as his ambassadors, his ministers of reconciliation, to speak his word in love and to draw Christian people closer to him, number one. Number two, to bring in the backslidden so that they can be restored to fellowship with Christ and not perish, and also to win the lost souls. We are building that wall, if you will, beloved. The wall, meaning the protection of God. That's what salvation is. It's protection from God, the protection of God against the wrath of God to come upon all who are not in the refuge of Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior, the only Lord, the only salvation, in whom we love, having not seen, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory at his soon return, because he's coming back for those that are looking for him, friend. And we're building the house. He's using us as, I don't even want to say we're building the house. I'm trying to find different language, because Jesus said he would build his church. And it says in Acts over and over that the Lord added to his church. But he uses us, the scripture says, in 2 Corinthians 5, like 17 through 21, as his new creatures, that he's, after he saves us, he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to be slandered like Nehemiah was. Nehemiah and his friends had several wolves that had gathered together conglomerately against them. And the lead wolf was named Sanballat, which means secret enemy. In the Hebrew, Sanballat means secret enemy. And let me make this one note here before we go a little bit further into this, and then we'll close it. In Luke 23:12, there's a little nugget there that tells us of two men that were in high positions of government that joined forces together based on their Antichrist hatred of Jesus Christ. It says this in Luke 23:12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod, in civil authority right there, and the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And the reason why they had become friends was because they had a common hatred for one man, Jesus Christ. These men were Antichrist. They, at this point, had refused to turn to the Messiah and recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And therefore, they were colluding together. And friend, that's what's going to happen to you. If you've lived at least 20, 30, 40 years, I can almost guarantee you've already had this happen to you, where even in school as a kid, where you had two or more kids that gather against you. You know, wolves run in packs, friend. And that's what we see in Nehemiah's day, when you've got Sanballat, which means secret enemy. That's so telling. And Tobiah. And I want you to go read that book and find out all the different creative ways Satan was using Sanballat and Tobiah to try to lie against and ridicule and mock and stop these men of God from doing the work that they were doing. That's what we got today. We notice that in our own ministry calling. We're not here to call ourselves pastor, evangelist, anything. I mean, I'm not saying those aren't biblical terms, but we're just here to serve. And we've seen people, some really good people, that dozens that we're still in fellowship with and hope to always be in fellowship with. But we've seen a few come and go that absolutely are and were secret enemies, as I'm sure you have too. And they are against the work of Christ. One particular guy is, he does nothing to further the kingdom. He can't even pass out a tract. That's how much spiritual prowess he doesn't have, if you will. But yet all he can do is conjure up things that we're doing wrong and come against us. It's like, what do we ever do to this guy other than try to feed him and be his friend? It's just mind-boggling. Like I said earlier, it is mind-boggling. You've got your stories, and my pastor friend has his stories, we all have, but they have a common denominator, and that's the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those that are of the spirit of truth love the brethren. Those are terms verbatim that come from 1 John 4:1-6, and they're those who have the spirit of truth because they love the Lord in truth, and they're living and abiding in Jesus Christ, which Jesus said you must do to be saved. And as soon as you stop abiding in him, you're cast forth as a branch and you're going to be burned. You're outside of the kingdom of God. And we've got those who were never saved in our midst, who feign to be Christians or have since fallen away after being born again, which is possible according to Christ and the apostles and the prophets. Ezekiel 33:12-13, Luke 8:13. Hello, you can fall away, etc. 2 Peter 2:20-22. It's all over the Bible. The book Lie of the Ages extracts literally volumes and volumes, a myriad, a mountain of scripture concerning this subject. Lie of the Ages. It's available on ebook and in print. Now, secret enemy. Nehemiah had a secret enemy. Nehemiah and the men of God. They were being attacked for doing the work of the Lord. They were being attacked and slandered and scoffed at and lied about. Jesus said that if you serve him, all manner of evil shall be spoken against you falsely. 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 You see, false accusation. Paul was greatly ridiculed. I suspect that's, and mocked and lied about. I suspect that's one of the ways that Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much evil, attacked Paul, fabricating things against him. Paul said they were deceivers and yet true. Paul and the remnant that ministered with him were deceivers and yet true. What does that mean? Well, they were deceivers to the wicked, because the wicked were projecting out of their own deceptive, deceitful hearts that same darkness upon others and attacking God's messenger, Paul. This doesn't mean that Paul was sinless perfection like none of us probably are. But Paul was definitely in the will of God, walking in the body of Christ. And when you're doing that, you're confessing your sins. And you're not letting them linger. And you're walking in the light, as he is in the light, and having fellowship one with another. And being cleansed continually by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Coming boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, beloved. The throne of grace is available to all of his people. And we must wear out a path, if need be, to that throne of grace. And I don't think we'll really wear out a path so much, because we obtain mercy for our sins forgiveness, and also grace, or the transforming power of God in us to make us different and to change us from the inside out so that we don't continue to repeat those things. Now, Nehemiah, you'll find when you read the book of Nehemiah, and his cohorts learned to worship and to war. They kept working. Worship, work, and war. Worship, work, and warfare. They continued to worship the Lord in prayer and in fasting and in diligently serving Him and obeying Him and doing the work that He called them to do. And they continued to work very hard. God likes hard work. God wants hard workers. Amen. That's what we see in Scripture. And to warfare, you know, when they were threatened by Sanballat and Tobiah and that wolf pack, they began to carry their swords in one hand and work with the other hand, having their hearts lifted up to the Lord in worship. Worship, work, and warfare. That's some good nuggets to follow. It's a good little list to keep in mind. Worship, work, and warfare. And we see that throughout Scripture, to continue to work hard in the Lord's work. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, abounding, meaning full of the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." One more time, 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Be ye therefore steadfast." The verse before that says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God gives us the victory, beloved. He's going to give you the victory. Whether you're going through this now or you're going through it in the future, if you're on this earth much longer, you will go through this. A pack of wolves will probably attack you. Prophet Ezekiel said they conspire together against the Lord and His people in Ezekiel 22:25-27. So Paul writes, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable." That's what Nehemiah and them were. They were absolutely unmovable. So was, of course, the rock of our salvation Himself, Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, they were unmovable. Daniel, unmovable. Absolutely unmovable. Joseph, Moses, absolutely unmoved. Be therefore steadfast, beloved. This is what you and I to be. Unmovable. You can't be moved because you're looking unto the rock from which you are hewn. You're founded and grounded in Christ. Your roots are going deeper and deeper into Him every day as you worship Him in spirit and in truth, crying out with David, "Lord, you told me to seek you, Lord, and thy face, Lord, will I seek. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." David was a man after God's own heart, and he was therefore rooted and grounded in the Lord and able to be unmovable, even as the Lord who is our rock and our salvation, Deuteronomy 32:4, and our stronghold and our refuge. When we're in Him, we're unmovable because we're protected by Him. In Psalm 125, I believe it is, the Bible says, that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. In Proverbs 18:10, the Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe." Amen. God wants us to be safe in the refuge of His presence and of His Word, and to know Him in holy prayer communion every day, having a not just a prayer life, but a life of prayer, seeking unto the Lord at every moment, setting our affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, staying ever so near to His side and laying our head upon His bosom like John the Apostle, whom Jesus loved, did, and knowing Him, like Paul said, that was His goal that he pressed toward, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Take the example of the men and women of God that have gone before us that we have on record in Holy Scripture, like Nehemiah and his band of remnant, godly, God-fearing men who refused to be moved by the persecution and the slander and the fabrications of Sanballat and the Tobiah and their little conglomeration and pack of wolves who were sons of Belial. The curse of the Lord was upon them for opposing the Lord, and yet God was using that opposition to do things in His remnant, as He's going to do in you and me. As you serve the Lord, let me ask you this, friend, where is He going to lift up your head. Well, he tells us in Psalm 27, which I've been quoting from here in the last few minutes, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Amen. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 27:6. The Bible says in Psalm 68, let the Lord arise, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. That's a good song. I want to encourage you, friend, that if you're going through warfare right now, to praise. Get your hands up, get your heart up, and begin to praise God today. In the anointing, the presence of God is going to consume you, and the enemy will have to flee. The enemy will have to flee, as he did when David played the harp, and the enemy departed from the room and from the presence of a wicked man, even named Saul. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of Israel, or his people. We are the Israel of God, the scripture says. Psalm 91:8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Amen. The end is coming soon, friend. The only thing that matters is what God sees you to be. It doesn't matter if what they're saying is even true. God sees that he's washed you, and that they're digging up under the blood to get your sin that you committed in the past. God is going to judge them. Even in this time, the judgment of God is upon them. You just serve the Lord and seek him, and know, like David in Psalm 17:2, that your sentence comes forth from God. And that's all that matters, friend, is that your sentence comes forth from God. Whatever God sees is what matters. In fact, think about the thief on the cross who died. How many people do you think this guy might have hurt in his life? I'm imagining it would be easy to surmise that the guy did a lot of stealing, thieving, hurting other people. It's probably not all he did. He just happened to be in jail for stealing, but who knows what else he did to hurt other people. But guess what? They might have not forgiven him if they were hard-hearted and not walking with the Lord, but Jesus forgave him. He said, today you will be with me in paradise upon his repentance. God doesn't make it hard. If we just truly and sincerely turn to him, if we've committed sin in the past. And, you know, with slander and with secret enemies, the slander they use is usually got some elements of truth in it. But, of course, they've painted it with a black brush, twisted it, made it look as bad as it could, because their hearts are full of malice, and all they're doing is trying to hurt you out of the darkness of their own hearts. These are men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, the Bible says twice. That's 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. God bless you, my friend. If you need us, feel free to email us. Our contact information is on safeguardyoursoul.com. Pray that God will richly bless you with this message of his word and in fellowship with Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.